stop there for, or start there just for a minute, just kind of set this passage up in Titus. Ephesians 6, 1 through 3. And we taught them this portion of scripture, not because we just wanted them to learn how to obey us, but because we wanted our children to be blessed. Amen? And this is what it says. And my children will probably know this by heart. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So the first part of this, as you obviously see, is the part where it talks about obedience. And since it's Mother's Day, we're going to primarily focus not on the fathers. Father's Day, you will have your day coming, trust me. But we're going to focus on the mothers and the motherly role in this passage. Amen? And the idea here is that if you are trained properly to obey your mama in the home, then there's a good chance that you will be obedient to the authorities outside of your home. Amen? Like the government or the local police, authorities, amen. People that have rule, kings, governments, amen, over us. And it's just basic wisdom. Because if you have a rebellious streak with your mama, then you might have a rebellious streak with folks who will not love you like your mama. And they will treat you in a certain way or respond to that rebellion in such a way that which will result in you having a very short life. Amen? Amen. It doesn't just say obey your mother. It says in the second part, the Bible is commanding us to honor her. You see that? Verse 2. Honor your mother, which is the first commandment with promise. Amen? Amen. Honor means to highly esteem, revere, prize, value. Amen. Your mother. Honor is giving respect to your mom, your mother, not only for merit's sake, but also respecting her rank and her office. Amen. Meaning that if you disagree with mom, you are to respect her position, amen, that God has given her and placed in your life. Amen. And God promises that by obeying and honoring your mother, that things will go well with you. Amen. We respect, for instance, the authorities. We respect the government. We respect paying taxes. Because if you don't respect paying taxes, things will not go well with you. You'll be sitting there with your argument and no money. Because they'll come and take it. Amen. So we respect the office. Amen. We do this in another area. When it comes to our mothers, we should do the same. Amen. We should respect her office, her position. If you don't like her stance on something, you still come at her from a place of respect. Amen. You obey the mother in the Lord, as it says in the first part of the passage, meaning that as long as your mom is not telling you to do something that is contradictory to the word of God, then it's okay to decide to go along with your mama. Uh-oh. So we don't just give our mothers flowers or celebrate her on one day. We give her honor and obedience all the time. Amen? And truth be told, some of us have scars to this day. Not because she beat us, but we have scars because we were disobedient and we did not listen to our mothers. We disobeyed because at that time we had no respect or no honor for her wisdom or her knowledge that she was passing down to us or wanting to pass down to us, and we went our own way. Anybody a witness to that? Amen. Now, here's an interesting thing. Just a side note before we go into Titus. Jesus, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the Master of the Universe, the one who holds all of this world together. In him all things consist, as it says in Colossians 1. The one who, if something happened to him, we would have total chaos. Jesus, the Master of the Universe, God, the second man of the Trinity, God-man, he obeyed his mama. In him there was no sin. Do you remember when the mother was like, I need you to make some wine and do a miracle for this wedding? You kind of get the feeling that Jesus is like not really wanting to do that by his response. But what did he do? She went over there and said, do whatever he tells me. And what did Jesus do? Jesus obeyed his mother. And he's God. He honored his mother. And so should we. Amen? We must honor our mother. Now, I personally believe that Jesus being God and honoring his mother was showing the body of Christ an example. When someone leaves a character attribute as an example, the expectation is that there should be others who follow that example. So what we have here today in our text is basically a scripture passage of leaving an example to those who should follow that example, passing down your knowledge, your character attributes to the next generation. Now, let me just say this for those of us who brought bricks in their purses and want to throw them at me for what I'm about to say. God help us. There are some concepts that some of you may feel are old school, outdated. So here's my disclaimer. I didn't write this. Paul was used by the Holy Spirit to write it, but it's really not Paul who's speaking. It's really the Holy Spirit who is saying these things. And I believe that these things are timeless because the word of God is timeless. Amen? So, he's saying this to the women, the mothers. Here we go. Titus 2, 3 and 5. Let's just read it first. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers or slaves to much wine. They are to teach what is good, and so, underline that, so that they may train the younger women to love their husbands and children, to be self-controlled, pure, working at home, kind, and submissive to their own husbands, that the word of God may not be reviled. Whew, that wasn't so bad, right? All right, real quick, before these verses 1 and 2, Titus is instructed by Paul through the Holy Spirit to promote the kind of living that accords with sound doctrine. In other words, they should all be living in a way that agrees with the word of God that has been taught. Now, this is against the backdrop that at that time in Crete, there were false teachers who had come into the church, steering people away from the truth. And these false teachers began to dictate to the people in the church how they should live. So Titus was there and instructed by Paul through the Holy Spirit to teach what was true, to stand against those things that were lies that could derail people from the simple goals that God had given the church at that time. Because whatever you tend to believe is what you will live by. Amen? All right. Further set up. Now, just like the false teachers of that time back then, nowadays we still have false teaching, but it comes in a subtle way, and even into the church. And it's been something that we've seen over the last several decades. Now, we live in a world where people are brought up to believe these new progressive concepts that stand against certain traditional norms. And the church, who has been called by God to be separate and apart from this world and the world system thinking, has over several decades adopted perspectives and progressive purposes that look just like the world. Amen. And here are the results. We now have, in history, more broken homes than ever, more broken people than ever, folks that don't know who they are or what they are than ever. And there are people out there who are busy trying to become something that God has never required them to become. Okay? We have youth pastors in youth ministries, and those things can be very helpful when it comes to shaping the minds of the next generation, but they were never supposed to be the first line of defense against the world system. Here's the thing. Satan has deceptively and effectively caused even the church to focus on things that steer us away from the simple goals that God has for us. And one of the ways he has done this is by underestimating or devaluing the role of mothers. He depreciates that role to those who need to be mothered. But he also devalues that role to young women who may be aspiring to be mothers, who now feel it's not a major thing for them to do. So what we have here in this passage is the Holy Spirit prepares, watch this, the older women to be godly mothers so that they will pass down what they know to the next generation. Titus 2, 3, and 5. Here we go. Help me, Lord. Older women likewise are to be reverent in behavior. Holy women. Women who are busy with sacred things. What does reverent behavior look like? Well, Paul is led to list a few things before they begin to teach the younger women. And here it is. Not slanderers. The KJV says not false accusers. The word here in the Greek is the same word that we get devil or diabolos. It's a very apt word because it is malicious in nature, because that's what gossiping is. It's devilish in its source and in its character. Satan is a liar. He's called the father of lies. Amen? When women tell lies on others, they are operating in the demonic. And this is a character trait that must not be passed down. Okay? Satan is also called the accuser of the brethren. So when you gossip about things that may be actually true about others, but are none of your business, you are operating in the demonic. And that particular character trait must not be passed down. Amen? Next thing he lists, or slaves to much wine, nor given to much wine. Amen? Not to be enslaved or given an overindulgence to things that control you. Amen. Not to give yourself over to wine. Now, the idea here is that people are watching you so that they should see the body of Christ, or the elderly woman, the mature woman, the woman who's passing down the knowledge of the doctrinal beliefs that we believe in or being taught by the gospel. They are seeing you not be enslaved, not only to wine, but anything else. Amen. Not enslaved to wine or anything else. Not enslaved to food. Not enslaved to drugs. That's obvious. Not enslaved to shopping. Move on. Amen. The idea is that nothing should control you but the Holy Spirit. Amen. And they are to teach what is good. So not slanders, not folks who are, ladies or women that are enslaved to anything, and those who are able to teach what is good. Teaching what would please the Lord. Amen. The basic idea here is that a woman who is mothering the next generation needs to be under the control of the Holy Spirit in her actions, and she needs to be under the control of the Holy Spirit in her habits, and under the control of the Holy Spirit as far as what comes out of her mouth. Are you hearing me? Why? Because she's got an assignment. And that assignment is to pass down what she knows to the next generation. Amen? And so train, verse 4. They are to teach what is good and so train, or so that they may train or encourage, discipline, mother, correct. Yeah, that's good. Correct who? The younger women. And so train the younger women to what? Love their husbands and their children. Wow. Okay. Courage, Jimmy. Let me say it this way first. When I first got married at my daddy's church, there was not a whole lot of people there that were able to speak into my life as far as my marriage. Just wasn't. There wasn't a lot of married folks there to support us. I had to go and learn how to be a husband from someone who would father me. Okay? I didn't know how to do that. I was like, ooh, you cute, I'm cute. We're going to be cute together and let's just go ahead and, you know, and it's going to work out. Wrong. I made a ton of mistakes because of my ignorance. And in some cases, because of my pride. Okay? I had to humble myself after I had some problems, and go talk to somebody who could train me in how to be a husband. Same thing here. Amen? The guy, I'll tell you who it was, Pastor Daniels. He sat me down and said, what are you doing? This is not how you do this. You're messing up. You don't know anything. You have to be fathered into being a husband. That thing is passed down. I don't know it by myself. My own dad told me. He was like, you know, Jamie, I wish I could help you, but I failed. So he had to tell me to go get help from somewhere else. So I went to Pastor Daniels. Pastor Daniels had been married for a very long time. His wife was always like, every time you see her, she's just happy. I had to learn that. Okay, so what ends up happening is I go to Pastor Daniels. He tells me some things how I could be fathered in this area. Same thing with the women. To be a good wife, to know how to love your husband, some experienced woman from the body of Christ should be able to speak into your life and mother you into being a better wife. Are you hearing me? All right. Ooh, this is tough. I feel you kicking, Satan. Mother you into paying attention to your personal appearance because husbands are very visual. You don't just get them and get the ring on your finger and then just drop everything. Amen? Some women do that. They don't know. It's like, I got them now. You know? To pay attention, how to pay attention to the lines of communication, to keep the lines of communication going and be so they'll be strong, even when you're mad at your husband. Right? You get angry, you want to shut down. An older woman should be able to speak into your life and say, sweetie, that's not the best way to handle that. Amen? How to refrain from criticizing your husband in public. Amen. Get me around all them high class people and you act real rude to me. Isn't that what Bill Withers said? You act real rude to me. Okay. How to be supportive, even when things seem like they're going wrong. How to have faith and not get all bent out of shape. These are things that I've seen in action because some women who are older will speak to the young women and tell them how to do that. Amen? In some cases, if the young women are interested in being mothered, it could possibly save their marriage. Amen? Verse 5, almost there. How to be self-controlled and pure. Staying in your own bedroom. You know, some people would say, it is all over the media, that men are just dogs and they are only interested in one thing. Well, I've been on the planet for a little bit and I know some women who are only interested in one thing. Let's just be real. Your cover's blown. Let's come on now. Come on. Y'all just the only ones talk about that. There's some women who are like that. That's all they want to do. And we have to teach people how to be chaste, pure. Amen? There's these strippers nowadays going around teaching folks instead of the body of Christ. That's real. Come on. Come on. Now, can we talk about it? They're teaching loose values. You know? People need to learn how to be pure so they don't destroy their families. Amen? Here we go. God, I want to get through this so bad because it's tight in here. It's hard preaching this message, Dave. You want to get up here? The older women teach the younger women the value of working in the home. Amen. It's not okay to come to church looking like $1 million and your house is just janky. Now, you know, that verse that cleanliness is next to godliness, it's actually not in the Bible. Someone made that up. It's not there. But being a hypocrite is in the Bible, where I present a certain thing at church and my house is janky. Oh, it's tight. Having order in the home is a good thing. Families thrive in order. One writer says they should be good homemakers. They should realize that it's divine to serve in the home, and it's to be done not for themselves but for God's glory. Amen? Older women can teach the younger women how to serve with honor, serve the Lord in the home as a wife and mother. And that if you are too busy to neglect those matters and pursue those matters, you're not pursuing what is best. Amen? Next word, working at home and then kind. Kind and submissive to their husbands. I'm going to really get out of this real quick. But being kind, how do you speak to your husband? Not just submitting with a bad attitude. I did it. What else you want? Submitting with a good attitude. Why? So that the word of God may not be reviled. No one will believe that people are really saved if you can't act saved in your own home, is what he's saying. They will talk badly about the word of God that we believe based on how the Christians act. And here we're talking about women. He's saying that if it looks like your home is not in order and you're not living the things that we are teaching in the word of God, he's saying people will speak badly about what you believe. They will speak badly. They will revile or blaspheme the word of God because 6 and 3 are not adding up. Amen? Here's the big point. These doctrines were to be passed down from the older women to the younger women. It was not just a mentoring role, it was a mothering role. And it may be well that when women are involved in all the exhausting duties when it comes to having a husband or children or taking care of a home, they may say, if only I could be done with all of this so I could truly live a religious life. And one writer says, there is in fact nowhere where a truly religious life can be better lived than within your own home. There can be no greater career, he says, than homemaking. Here's the thing. Some of these ideas will sound like they're antiquated, but they're coming straight from the Word of God. Many people have made their mark in this world and become extremely successful because some woman decided to stay and put their family and their children first. So these people are not successful just because they were talented. They were successful because some mama was praying. Some mama was in the home. Some mama was available. Some mama set her stuff aside and said, I will sacrifice for you to make sure that you are all right. And we need godly mothers like that. That's what he's saying. He's saying that one of your greatest abilities is a God-given nurturing role that you've received to take people from where they are to where God wants them to be just by you being in your proper place and understanding that you are valuable to their success. Because some folks wouldn't make it. We got single mothers that raise these dudes without fathers who come out to be amazing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A lot of these basketball stars will tell you right up front, you know what? I'm talented and all that, but it was my mama. Come on, if I had to be honest with you, it was my mama. She was there for me. Amen. All right. Preach, Jamie. Radical feminism is not a new idea, nor is it progressive. It's actually a very old concept that goes back to the Babylonians and the Assyrians. Didn't know that until I researched it. As well as Greek mythology and Gnosticism. This stuff isn't new. Okay? It's an old trick being played on a new generation. Okay? If every woman is training their next child to be the new Beyonce, or the Fortune 500 corporation CEO, president or whatever have you, then, and everyone skips their role as a nurturing mother, then what happens in society if that's the goal that everybody's chasing after? You hear me? What happens to the next generation if there are no godly mothers because we're actually sending them somewhere else? One thing that I personally realize is this, and I'll just put it in my own situation so you can hear it from me. One thing that I personally realize is that the role of the pastor, is important as that seems, is not more important than the role of a mother. It isn't. They are equally important roles. There is nobody who probably understands that in this Bay Area more than me right now. Okay? I may get in trouble for saying this, but nowadays we esteem women who actually get to the role of pastoring, and we congratulate them for being elevated to the level of pastor while we're viewing the role of the wife and mother as some secondary position. Let me tell you from experience, the role of a mother is absolutely essential, and I know that by experience right now. She is not some secondary position that we look down on while we're trying to get you to be seen in front of everybody else. No, no, no. I'm telling you from my heart, I'm doing this on my own, and I understand right now what it's like to not have a mother in the home. She's totally necessary, totally essential. Are you hearing me? What has happened is Satan has demeaned and twisted and devalued that role. And I'm here to tell you that's a trick of the enemy, because it's bringing harm to the family, because he knows that if he could take the mother out of the role, of her role, and get her to think that she doesn't have to do that or there's something better to do, then what happens to the family? Are you hearing me? The society needs good mothers. The family needs good mothers. The church needs good mothers. They should be honored for what they do and not told that, you know what? What you need to do is aspire to be something greater than that. What the Bible is saying here that's timeless is there is no role more important than shaping the next generation. And one of God's most amazing tools for doing that is a mother. Amen. 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 I'm not saying to you that you can't get out there and be all you can be. I'm just saying that if we neglect that central, essential, very important position, then we lose. And if you look at what's happening in the generations, where we got, unfortunately, and it's not the woman's fault, but you got women who have to work, who have to put money on food on the table, because some of the men have not stepped up, hello? Or they've left the women behind to raise the children by themselves. When we look at that situation and we see the mother outside of the home and she's having her children be raised by the daycare center, these people are growing up without the nurturer. That's not the way God intended this thing to go. And so what ends up happening to the mindset is they're saying, well, girl, you better get your money on because you can't depend on no man for this, that, and the other. And to a certain degree, I understand that argument. But if we take that thing too far, then we miss out on what God is saying here. And this thing is timeless because he's saying that there are some godly mothers who actually can speak into the heart of a child the things of God. Because the daycare center ain't going to do that. My wife was in the home teaching Bible all day long. And I am not able to do it as better than she is. I recognize that already. The role of the mother is essential. She's not secondary. She should be honored for what she does. Amen. All right, Holy Spirit. We have been doing the very best that we can as a family since the loss of Sonny. And I know by experience that there is no one who can replace her. None of us have been able to fill her shoes or her role. However, we've also realized that while there is no replacement for Sonny, God has seen fit to send help. Amen. And there are many mothers in the body of Christ, in this church, and in several other churches who have stepped up to do what they can to help out our family. Now, the interesting thing here is this, and this is interesting. This is why I asked the question in the very beginning of the sermon. I said, "Let me raise your hand if you're a mother." Watch this. Some of the mothers that are helping us are actually mothers in a purest sense of the word, where they actually have biological children. But some of the mothers that are helping us don't have children at all. Proving that you don't have to be a woman with biological children to be someone who helps and mothers somebody who's in need of a mother. Amen? So even if you've never had children, I believe you should not be excluded from today's celebration. Because there is a God-like character that the Holy Spirit provides for the body of Christ that is available to the women of God who feel the burden to nurture and walk along others to help them to be what God has called them to be. And if that is who you are, whether you have biological children or not, guess what? Happy Mother's Day. Amen? Amen. Lastly, you're doing good. You're going to get some chicken. All right. Perhaps the greatest quality that a mother has is her ability to, in spite of whatever their children have done, to never give up on their children. You know, I have to be very honest with you. I'm a dad and I love my children. I love my babies. I love my girls because the girls are younger, so I always have a little thing for the, you know, I'm a girl dad. That's what I do. You know what I mean? I love my little girls. Don't mean I don't love my boys. It's just a little different. You know what I mean? So but one of the things I noticed is that I have a nurturing side, thank God. But I'm missing some things. Because I'm not a woman. You know, there's certain things that mothers will do. They just will never give up on their babies. Dads be like, you know what, dude? All right then. Right. You know, dads be like, you know what? That's three. Yeah, that's it. You know, mothers would be like, okay, listen, I'm mad. I'm ticked. But we're going to work this out. You know what I mean? Mothers just have this ability to endure. You know, it's just hard for the mother to just kind of be like, you know what, forget you. You just don't hear that. You might hear it in the news, but it's like, it's a big thing. It's like, wow, really? She did that? How could a mother do that? If a guy does it, they'd be like, yeah. Right? But a mother is just like, you don't really hear that. So here's this passage of scripture that just blew me away, and I'm done. Isaiah 49, 14 and 15. New Living Translation. Here's the backdrop. Israel has messed up time and time again. They've blown it. They've sinned against God. They've practiced idolatry. They have, you know, reinforced this way of life of independence from the very God that created them. You know, everything that they had came from God, and they are neglecting God. They are turning their back on the God of the universe, and they've even killed the prophets that God sent to warn them. So their sin is just stacked up at this point in history that we're seeing in this passage of scripture. Amen? God sent warning. They were like, we don't want to hear from God. We want to do what we want to do. Amen. Yet God says to them, verse 14, Jerusalem rather says, yet Jerusalem says, the Lord has deserted us because of all the wrong that they've done, right? The Lord has forgotten us. And God says something that's really interesting in response to this. He says, never. I will never forget you. And then he gives an example. Can a mother forget her nursing child? Woo. Can she feel no love for the child she has born? Is that even possible? God is saying here that no matter how many times you've messed up, no matter how many times you've blown it, God is available to receive those who belong to him. And time again, no matter how much you've messed up, God is saying, just come here. I'm waiting for you. I'll never give up on my babies. That is the gospel. That's what God does. I don't care how bad it is. I don't care what you've done. It's not bigger than the grace of God. It's never going to be bigger than the grace of God. But I find it rather interesting that the example he's using for that is a mother. He's saying, a mother will never give up on her babies. Huh? Today we have the same God, and no matter how bad it's been, he extends his hand of forgiveness. How? Through Jesus Christ, who gave his life for our sins. We can receive salvation through Jesus Christ because of what he has done to pay for us. He exchanged his life for ours. Amen? And he does that not because we figured out how to do right. He does that because God is a forgiving and a merciful God. Amen? He's faithful. But here's the thing. For those that belong to him, he will never, ever desert his children. He will never turn away from his children. He will never turn his back on his children. And he's saying here that that God-like character is also found in a mother. Because she will never, ever leave her child behind. And that's why we honor mothers today. Happy Mother's Day. Thank you.